I don't need to tell you this, I realize it, but God is very different from us. There is a little boy that I know, very well acquainted with this little boy, even more acquainted with his father. I know his father very well. And this little boy enjoys saying his father's name a lot. And he enjoys asking questions a lot. And he does so all throughout the day, and sometimes so often that it hardly even seems like there is 5 seconds in between him saying name, saying question, saying name, saying question. And I'm going to take the liberty of speaking for the father. Again, I'm very well acquainted with him. Sometimes it's a little hard not to get frustrated. And yet, God says this, pray without ceasing. He says, devote yourselves to prayer in Colossians 4:2. Devoted? He wants me to be devoted to him hearing from me? God is not like us. God is very unique, and that extends to a lot of things. We're going to look at how that extends to a lot of things this evening. And one of the most fundamental ways, really one of the first ways that we're very quick to see how someone is unique, is in his appearance. We don't know what God looks like. We read in John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time, and for good reason. Exodus 33 and verse 20, but he said, and this is God speaking, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. God is just too much. He is too much holiness. He is too much perfection. He is too much gloriousness. This is something that was shown very well when he came down, when his presence came down on Mount Sinai. And you see all of the just awesome wonder of God's presence coming down, and he was restraining himself. He had to have been. Again, nobody can see the fullness of him and live. Our vessels are just too imperfect. If we were to see the full glory of God, it would be like throwing an entire ocean down on a life raft. It would be too much for us. One day, one of these days, we can look forward to a vessel in which we can stand in his presence. And what a wonderful thing that will be if we are his children. But right now, we don't know. What we do know is that he is like nothing else on this earth. In fact, he refused to be compared to anything else. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 15, he said, so watch yourselves carefully. Since you did not see any form on the day that the Lord spoke to you at Horeb from the midst of the fire, so that you do not act corruptly and make a graven image for yourself in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the sky, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water below the earth. Now, he did allow his prophets to describe him in terms that are a little bit easier for us to digest. We've seen that as we've gone through Ezekiel. Ezekiel spoke about the presence of God, the glory of God, with terms, you know, like glowing metal is what he compares it to, like fire, like radiance. And what we gather whenever we go through these descriptions is that God is indescribable. Ezekiel does describe him to an extent, but we realize that he falls short. And really, God is incomprehensible. We cannot comprehend him. There is nothing else like him. What we can comprehend to an extent is God's unique composition, though. And I say to an extent, we read in John 4, verse 24, that God is spirit, and I think we can only comprehend that so far in this physical body. But what we can comprehend is the characteristics of the Lord. Exodus 34 and verse 6, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression and sin, and yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. God is all of these things, and he is all of these things perfected. He is compassion perfected. He is graciousness perfected. He is abounding in mercy perfected. He has and is power. We also see that about God. God has the power to split oceans. He has the power to knock walls flat. He has the power to make the sun stand still. And all of these things really aren't even a big deal for him. He is the one who created everything. There is nothing else like him. And all of these qualities, him being our creator and the creator of everything especially, has put him in a very unique position. His physical position is unique. Obviously, he's in the heavens, but also in the hierarchy of the universe. If you were to put everything together and rank everything, God is far above everything. And he is galaxies away from everything. And yet he does not separate himself galaxies away from us. He puts himself in the premier spot of our lives. He says, I am your king. Therefore, he does rule us. He says that I am your shepherd. Therefore, he does lead us. He does tell us what to do. And this is what he says through Paul in Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Jesus says in Matthew 5 and verse 48, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. God, who is unique and wonderful, says, be like him. If you have ever had the desire to be different in this life, if you've ever had the desire to stand out, to be unique, to not fall into the humdrum of daily everything, that's great. That's what God calls us to. If you haven't had that desire, God still calls us to be unique. I don't know about you, but my physical appearance certainly doesn't have a huge effect on anybody. It's not going to blow anybody away or anything like that. But we can imitate his characteristics. We can be compassionate. We can be gracious. We can be slow to anger. We can have mercy. We can live in truth. We don't have his power, but we can rely on his. We can imitate the unity that he has with his son by actually being united with his son, by clothing ourselves in him in baptism. We can imitate God's care for others and his compassion for others. We need to be different from what we see around us. If you are in Christ this evening, think about your position, your appearance, your composition that has changed since God has changed you. Ephesians 2 and verse 4, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and has raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God and had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And Peter promptly follows this with verse 11, beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. It's not just that we are called to be unique. God has made us unique. And he does expect us to act like that. Moses is a man who took up this challenge. He was unique in this world. We read about Moses in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10. Since that time, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Moses was a man who was called, just like you and I. Now, I realize that the circumstances were different, but God called him to serve him. God called Moses to serve him and to be different, and Moses did that. And God gave him unique honor. And we're not going to have the same honor as Moses. We're not going to have this said about us. But where we can be unique is we have access to and the ability to be like the greatest prophet that has arisen, Christ Jesus. And if we serve God and if we are different, if we are unique, like our God is different, then we do receive a unique reward. That reward being a reward, which is completely unique to what we deserve. Paul was a man who took up this challenge. He was unique and different from the world. And he says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. But in this and in all of Paul's writing, you see who he really points us to, who he tells us to imitate. Again, he encourages us in Ephesians 5, 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. But we don't do this and act like God and imitate God so that we will be treated like God in this life. We do so that God will be treated like God. That points people to the God who has made us unique, and so that he can get the devotion that he uniquely deserves. And also it fulfills our obedience to him. Again, he calls us to be unique in this life. God is very unique from us in ways that we never could be because we are not God. And he is also unique and different from us in ways that seem unobtainable. His persistence, his faithfulness, his patience, his love. And he tells us these things about him, but he does not do so just so that we will gawk at them. He does so that they will be our goals to strive for in this life as well. Therefore, again, as we see in Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God as his beloved children. I believe really one of the most unique things, maybe the most unique thing about our God, and that's hard to say, but is the great love that He has for us. I mean, think about that. And what's so unique about God is the great desire that He has for us to be His children. But that is God's desire. And if you would like to fulfill God's desire and really fulfill your greatest desires by being saved from this life, then now's the opportunity to do so. Please come forward. Be baptized into our Lord while we stand and as we sing.